Hello and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, sponsored by Premier Dental. Halloween edition here. We're recording on October 31st. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me as always is World Herald Prep Recruiting Specialist Mike Sauter. Mike, where's your costume? Where's your Sam Darnold jersey, bro?
I don't wear costumes, but people might have to hit up Premier Dental after all the candy that they eat on Halloween.
What's your favorite candy?
Peanut M&Ms are kind of my go-to, if I can. If not Snickers, I'm a Snickers guy. Kind of like all kinds of candy. I ate a box of Mike and Ike's yesterday. Like a box. A whole box.
All right. As soon as we're done recording, I'm going to call Premier Dental and make you an appointment for your cavity. We have the quarterfinals of the Nebraska High School Football Playoffs to preview today. We're going to start with Class A and... My bracket is not looking too good.
Your bracket got busted last week, didn't it?
Well, I still have my champion. I still have three of my final four. We're going to kick things off here with Omaha Burke, the number one seed, still undefeated, 10-0 against Lincoln Southeast, 7-3. Southeast defeated Lincoln Southwest last week. I picked Burke in this one. What do you have for this one,
so,
Mike?
Burke and Southeast played, I think it was the first game of the year. It ended up being closer than it, what it was at halftime or something. Southeast kind of came back a little bit. The key here is injuries, and Southeast lost their quarterback to an ACL on Friday night. I think that's going to be awfully tough to overcome, specifically since I already played and, you know, the schedule was, it was 49-29 when they played the first time. So, you know, both teams probably have gotten better, I would imagine. Also, you know, the health of Nick Henrich Isaac Gifford. I think both those guys, I think they're probably out. We'll see, but I think it's going to be hard. Probably, I probably agree with you on that one.
Okay. Next up, we have, before we get to the next one, do we know any updated timeline for Nick Henrich?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I still think they are hoping to get him back. Maybe next week, depending on, you know, if they can make it, if they can beat Southeast. But I think that's the initial target. We'll see. Nothing, you know, has been definitive yet, or, you know, if he can play after this week if Burke wins.
And what do we know about Isaac Gifford?
Not much. I know he's a little dinged up, and that's about it. He was dinged up towards the end of the regular season, so not a whole lot there.
All right. We have Millard West 8-2. Millard West is a 5 seed. They defeated Creighton Prep. They are facing Omaha West Side 9-1. West Side handily defeated Lincoln East. I have West Side in this one. Why am I right? Why am I wrong?
Both defenses are pretty good. Why you're right is probably because just the way West Side performed last week. I mean, they really took it to Lincoln East. I was there for the first half and then left, but went to another game. But I think why you're right in that is West Side's defense has been phenomenal all year as far as not giving up points or creating turnovers, all of those things. So Tyson Guzman and Avante Dickerson are the corners. They both played corner at times opposite each other, so it's really hard to pass on those guys. And you know, I think Nolan Miller Johnston in the middle is hard to move. I mean, the story's been told, he's a smaller guy, but he's hard to move from the middle there playing the nose. Millard West line is a lot bigger than West Side's and older. So you have Matt Hoosier, Cole Aniello, Nathan Ward, some of those guys. So I think that's obviously going to be key, is who can control the line of scrimmage. It is in every game, but specifically, I think in this one, I think it's going to be hard. Can Millard West open it up a little bit? with Tristan Gomez and Dallas Beanham. That's his go-to receiver. And can Westside throw? I mean, they always seem to be able to find wide receivers that are really good at running a five-yard out, which is pretty hard to stop if you have a quarterback that can do it, and Cole Payton can. Taggy is another good. He's a good wide out for Westside. Plays defense too. They have a handful of kind of under the radar or not talked about weapons, and I think Westside probably has a little bit of an edge. One, they're at home. Two, they probably run the ball a tick better. But I think it'll be a defensive game. I think both teams will play really good defense. I think it'll be a low scoring game. It's Ken Millard West get chunk plays on Westside, which they haven't really given up at all. Chunk plays for touchdowns. They really haven't given up very many points the whole year.
And to your point, Westside, after last week, 10 weeks, they've allowed a total of 78 points.
That's incredible.
Millard West hasn't been a slouch either. They've allowed less than 150.
Right. So that's why I think it'll be a pretty solid defensive game.
Yeah. On to our next one here, the other side of the bracket, Bellevue West, 9-1, hosting Elkhorn South, 7-3. Elkhorn South, in their first year in Class A, it was more of the same in the playoffs for them. Mm-hmm. They knocked off Lincoln High, and, I mean, that was a bit of a shock for me. I had Lincoln High in that one. What can Elkhorn South do to keep that run going?
You know, they played a couple weeks ago, and it was 39-3 was the final score, or 39 to...
They played in week four. It was at Elkhorn South. Bellevue West won 38-3.
38-3. I mean, it's hard to make up 35 points in 6, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is. Elkhorn South saw something what Kearney did that was successful, and that was just be as physical as possible and try and be the hammer to the nail and just run it. So maybe that's something that Elkhorn South can do, keep the ball out of the Bellevue West offensive hands. And Jay Ducker in particular, the run he had to set up his game-winning touchdown when things were very much so in the balance on Friday night was incredible. It was great. It was a great run. 68, 70 yards, something like that. So I think in order for Elkhorn South to win, they're going to have to be more physical and just try and control the game, which, you know, I mean, they only scored 3 on Bellevue. Bellevue West is healthy now. They're pretty much fully healthy as far as, you know, guys that were injured and now back. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, I think, for Elkhorn South. I pretty much think everyone would be picking Bellevue West in this game, just like they did last week. And if Elkhorn South can get it done, man, props to them.
Yeah, and I picked Bellevue West originally over Lincoln High. I'm going to stick with Bellevue West, but to your point, if Elkhorn South with Cooper Jewett can come out and replicate Kearney's game plan.
And just run the ball and keep Bellevue West offense on the sideline. That's going to be the key. It's going to be hard, but we'll see.
But, I mean, with how impressive Elkhorn South has been this year, for their first year in Class A, I think they're going to be a very good team next year.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And they're young. Their line's young.
Yeah, Prochaska.
So, yeah, I mean, Zadiska is another young lineman for them. So they're coming for sure, and for sure going to be really good. It's just a matter of...
And that's not saying that they're a year away, because they could easily beat Bellevue West.
They beat Lincoln High, and I bet a lot of people had Lincoln High should have beat Bellevue West the first week of the year. They're pretty good now. They're only going to get better.
Yeah.
So.
All right, our last matchup of Class A, Millard South, 9-1, the 2 seed, hosting Grand Island, 8-2. And last week, Grand Island... They had the biggest comeback in Class A playoff history.
Yeah, it was 38 unanswered or something, right?
38 unanswered. They defeated Omaha North 38-24. Xander Gray did leave that game with an elbow injury. I don't believe he returned. I'm not saying that's the reason. But that was a very impressive comeback.
Yeah, and it was 24-0, right, at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they scored 38 in the second half.
Yeah, it was. That is a very impressive performance. Right. They were at home, so that does help, you know.
Yeah, I always go to the two guys that are key for me for Grand Island are Sam Sims at linebacker. I think that kid is a stud. And he just is a tackling machine. He's all over the place. He's a thumper, hard hitter. That's what that means. And then Cole Evans, their quarterback, obviously I think he's healthy. Or healthy enough to play, did last week after missing some time. This game is going to be probably like 17-14, and the first one to 14 wins 17-14 or something. Like, I think it'll be extremely low scoring defensive game. Millard South runs the ball really well. TJ Urban runs the ball really well from the quarterback position. They have Isaiah Harris, who is a very good back at Millard South. And then obviously their line is pretty good. I mean, you have Cole Herbolsheimer playing both sides. Brendan Anderson is a sophomore defensive end that I love. He can get after the quarterback and chase down plays from the backside. So handling him is going to be key. Grand Island, Coach Tomlin and their staff does a heck of a job. And it'll be a battle for sure. Yeah. I think it's pretty much a toss-up. In my opinion, I think it's kind of a toss-up as to who wins. Of the four games, this is the one that is probably this and the Millard West Omaha West Side one is probably the closest one.
Yeah. So I had Omaha North in the semifinals. So I'm gonna pick this one here.
Dun, dun, dun. Go ahead.
I'm gonna go with Millard South. Yeah. I like what they can do running
playing
the ball, like
home.
You said,
yeah.
Playing at home. What would Grand Island have to do to get the win, though?
Slow down TJ Urban and force him into mistakes throwing the ball. Purchill for Millard South was all over the field on Friday night against Pius, or last Friday afternoon, I guess, against Pius. He had a pick six, a punt return, a long touch or a long catch that resulted in a points for Millard South after the long catch he had on offense. So he was very much so all over the field. And he is a key to, you have to kind of control him and know where he's at. If Grand Island can get it done, they're going to have to, TJ Urban is a young quarterback and confuse him maybe a little bit or force him into a turnover or two. If Grand Island is going to be able to get that done.
All right, next up we have Class B, but before we continue, I want to take a minute here and thank Premier Dental, those fixers of cavities. They're preventative and restorative care for you and your family. Let family-owned Premier Dental show you how easy it is to have the smile you've always wanted. Check them out at premiersmile.com. Make your appointment to fix those Halloween candy snafus at premiersmile.com, as well as mouth guards. And everything.
You can really do it all.
Yeah.
They really can.
All right. And next up, Class B. And my bracket looks a little bit better than this one. I only missed one pick last week. So we're going to start off right at the top here. Number one seed, Omaha Scott, 10-0 against Blair, 7-3. They defeated Grand Island Northwest. That was the only pick I missed last week. So I'm going to stick with my bracket here. Omaha Scott.
Yeah, Scott, I think those two played, Blair and Scott played, if I remember right, they played
in week three, Scott won 45-7.
So I think this game will be closer than that. I definitely do. Blair had, Quincy Nichols broke a season 11-man record in receiving yards. He had 225, six, something like that. Which is a ton receiving yards against Northwest. The quarterback broke some records too. I think Scott's defense is a little bit better than Northwest defense. It'll be key for them, obviously, to get Jared Epperson going and basically control the game on the ground, which Scott normally does. So if they can control the game on the ground, I think they'll be fine. If Blair wins, they're going to have another huge game by their offense, and their defense is going to have to get off the field, force Scott to punt a little bit and things. So that's those are kind of the keys to the game, if you will.
Yeah. All right, next up in Class B, we have Waverly, 8-2, the 5 seed, traveling to McCook, the 4 seed, McCook, 9-1. I'm going to stick with my bracket here. I have McCook.
Dude, this game is going to be, like, super physical. Both teams are very physical, very well coached, rely on good line play. I mean, it is your stereotypical, like, grind it out defensive style. If Favre can and Canberra can get going, they didn't in the Scotts Bluff game. I was there. They didn't really get it going through the air for McCook, but they did against York. If they can get the passing game going a little bit, and just the fact McCook's a really tough place to play. If they can get the passing game going a little bit and just have a solid defensive game, then McCook wins. If Waverly is, if they wins, if Rhett Jordan does what he's done all year, really take a page out of Scott's Bluff's book. Scott's Bluff runs a little more option, runs the quarterback a little bit more, but let's run the ball and, you know, just play good defense. That's how what Waverly's done all season long. And they have a lot of seniors and have been through, obviously, battles. They played Scott to a really close game. So that game is, I wish I was going to that one. That's going to be not going to be a lot of highlights in that game. Right? The highlights are going to be 3 and out punt. So that's my thoughts on that one.
Okay. Next up, other side of the bracket here, York and Seward. York comes in at 8-2, and they're the 3 seed facing the 6 seed. Seward also at 8-2. I have York winning this one.
Yeah, it was 42-40, like week 8, I think, of the season, if I remember right.
Week 8, yep.
Yeah.
York won 42-40. Came down to the final minute.
Right. It was a close game. York, I wasn't there, but I guess controlled kind of the game for the most part. Clearly, they played 3-4 weeks ago. They know what each other's going to do. And I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, York jumped out to a lead in that game and just kind of let it go a little bit. So keeping Joseph Krause on the sideline is key for York, and they run the ball really well with, you know, Garrett Snodgrass is a little banged up, so he's going to have to, you know, kind of remain healthy. But York's been through those wars and those battles. Seward really hasn't. I like both teams a lot, but I think it's probably not going to be as close maybe as the first time. I guess I look at it, and it's at York, which is a quirky place to play because you're playing in a baseball field, and so it's a little different than playing on the turf in Seward at Concordia, where Seward plays. So with the home field advantage and stuff is probably why you got to go with York in that one.
All right, and our last Class B matchup, number 2, Scott's Bluff, 10-0, hosting Omaha Roncalli, 8-2. I went with Scott's Bluff. Not much drama there to me. Why could I be wrong?
Alex Rogers is why you could be wrong, because he is like a touchdown waiting to happen every time he touches the ball. He's explosive. They use him. They find ways to get him the ball, whether it's on reverses or screens or just as a running back. They can split him out. He can play wide receiver. He is literally a touchdown. He can take it to the house every time. So him, and then Jack Dotzer runs their offense really well. He's a smart kid, and you know, he's not the biggest guy, but he runs what they like to do really, really well. Scott's Bluff, their line's bigger. their line's bigger. Sebastian Harsh is a beast. I mean, he is awesome at quarterback and at defensive end slash outside linebacker, probably more of an outside linebacker.
And I know you're a huge fan of Christopher Busby.
Yeah, Chris Busby, the running back. I mean, in this game, you have two really good running backs in Rodgers and Chris Busby. So I look at it. I mean, it's a long travel. Look, some of the kids from Roncalli probably haven't been past Lincoln in their life. All of that, all those things adding up, and the size of the lines is astronaut. I mean, we're talking a big difference here. Who's going to block Garrett Nelson? Like, those sort of things. That's probably why everyone, I would say, goes with Scott. I mean, or Scott's Bluff. Roncalli is definitely the underdog in that game. If Scott's Bluff wins, York wins, McCook wins, Scott wins, it's the Final Four that everyone kind of wanted to see.
Yeah. Not to put the cart before the horse.
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah. But if we're going by your bracket that you picked here.
Next week we will have all the semifinals to preview Class A, B, C1, C2.
Probably break them down a little bit more.
Yep. We'll go in depth. We'll also have the high school volleyball state tournament to preview.
Starts Thursday,
and we will have our volleyball expert extraordinaire, Mike Patterson, on the podcast to preview it.
That's right.
But before we wrap up here, we have some news and notes, your stock report here, and Maddie Kroll committed to South Dakota basketball.
Yeah, she went there, I think it was like 6 or 7 times she's been up there. She just really liked the coach. The coach really liked her, showed her, you know, that she was a priority. I love Maddie Kroll as a basketball player and as a person. She's works her tail off on the basketball court. A compliment to a women's or a girls basketball player is they play like a boy, and she does. Diving on the floor, hounding defensively, can get to the basket and create her own shot and those sort of things. So she plays extremely hard, which is why I love her as a player. So she's going to South Dakota. That's a very good get. She had 16 offers, came down. Nebraska showed some interest there at the last minute, or not last minute, but showed some interest, just didn't pull the trigger. If she would have waited, maybe, maybe Nebraska pulls the trigger on her, but she, you know, sometimes it's always good in recruiting to go where you're wanted. And I tell people that all the time. It's go where you're wanted and you are who is recruiting you, basically. So,
She had interest from Minnesota, UNO, mm-hmm. Wichita State, Drake, South Dakota State.
She said her Final Four were South Dakota, Drake, Colorado State, and Wichita State. So
she was definitely...
Yeah, she was... a pretty high level recruit, so it's good on South Dakota again. Their facilities are awesome too. They have separate practice courts, and they have a brand new kind of arena that's a couple years old, and their practice courts or facilities attached to the arena, and there's a men's practice court right next to a women's practice court, so they don't have to share time and all that. So all the newest technology stuff's in there too. It's pretty nice up there.
And she's only a junior. Millard South last year was a Class A runner-up. They could
the
be
year before.
Not to get too far ahead, because girls basketball season, we still have to wrap up football and volleyball, but Millard South,
it's coming quick.
They're going to be a top team this year.
Yeah, they'll definitely probably be the favorite, I would imagine. They return everyone, I think, except for one player, and they'll definitely be the favorite, I would say, in Class A.
All right. And I also have here that 3 Husker commits are semifinalists for the Butkus Award for high school linebackers. Mm-hmm. Nick Henrich of Omaha Burke, Garrett Snodgrass of York, and Garrett Nelson of Scott's Bluff. And, you know, you look at the playoff picture and...
all 3 of their teams are doing pretty well.
Yeah. So that speaks to, you know, obviously their teams, but obviously how talented these players are and... you know, it also speaks to their NU commitment.
Yeah, I mean, those three guys are dudes that play with a lot of energy. They're extremely good football players. They might not jump out at you with their 40 times and verticals and stuff like that, but they are just football playing dudes. And it shows you that, yes, there's talent in Nebraska if there's three of 15 finalists in the country.
Yeah.
So, and it wasn't like a poll voting online thing. This is like a legit deal. So, yeah.
There are 15 semifinalists total. Nebraska had three, which tied Georgia for the most nationally. And
Georgia right now is like recruiting hub. Everyone's recruiting in Georgia.
Yeah. And Nebraska matched Georgia for this. So, to me, that's the biggest takeaway is there is a lot of talent in Nebraska.
Right. Right.
I know we sound like a broke record because I feel like you sound that. You say that every week.
Yeah. Specifically at like your linebacker positions and stuff like that. I mean, there's linemen and linebackers all over. And it wouldn't shock me if one of them wins it.
Yeah. And let's recap your coach's clinic here. What stood out to you last week?
Yeah, so coach's clinic was Saturday. It was great. I thought it was really good, and the feedback from some of the coaches were really good. We had, I think, just like almost 60 coaches in the gym and learned a lot. Coach Miles started off the day, did a good job. He's obviously clear, high energy, so that helped. And Omaha brought their whole staff over to help demonstrate some drills and things. And then Kareem Richardson from Missouri, Kansas City, did a lot of press stuff or pressing defensive drills and things. So he was really good. TJ Otzelberger was really good. Creighton and his two assistants were good. They did a lot of practice drill things, showed some drills that those guys use. And Brittany Lang did a good job. Really, she is really smart as far as basketball mind. She did an excellent job in showing her 2-3 kind of zone defense. And a shout out to Peru State. They brought their players in as demonstrators, and they were there all day long for every one of the coaches. So they're pretty tired at the end of the day. So thanks to Coach Ludwig for bringing those guys in.
I'm sure he appreciated the conditioning that they got.
Right. He probably did.
All right. Before we get out of here, I want to be sure to remind everyone of our great subscription packages, omaha.com/subscribe. We've got the Husker only package for everything Husker football, basketball, baseball, every sport. The sports only package for, you know, your Creighton coverage, UNO coverage, high school coverage, Sodders recruiting reports,
Lancers, Storm Chasers, all of that.
We're trying to get people to subscribe, not
hey man.
I mean, if you're interested in the Lancers, definitely check that out. Or just everything omaha.com/subscribe, and you can get that investigative reporting, dining reviews, political coverage with election day coming up. And be sure to sign up for our Prep Zone newsletter at omaha.com/signup. Until next time, check us out at omaha.com/podcast, anyprepzone.com. Follow Mike on Twitter, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Thanks for listening.